Father, please help us to hear you. Father, please speak to every single person here. Our seed, Lord God, that we sow as humans is so generic, but you turn it into something that is very specific. And Father, as I sow generic seed, I ask you make it, Lord, personal, profound, applied, specific. In Jesus' name. For myself, Lord, I just ask for the grace and the anointing to bring your word. Amen. Friends, I want to try and do something that's, I'll just stop after 15 minutes. I want to take you to Apostle Paul's three famous prayers. There are three prayers, there's a number of prayers that Paul prayed, but I want to take you to just three of them, his most famous prayers. And so please remember this, Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 1. I never remember verses, I just remember chapters, because it's in there somewhere. So you can go home, if you dial out, Ephesians chapter, Colossians chapter, okay, one more time, Ephesians chapter, all right. And what's interesting in these three prayers, you'll recognize them as we go through them. What's interesting in these three prayers is as Paul prays them, they're all around the Trinity. They're all prayed to the Father because of Jesus for the Spirit. All his prayers. They're all around the Trinity. He's addressing the Father through Jesus or because of Jesus for the Spirit of God to come. And there's three different things he's praying for the Holy Spirit, upon God's people in those three prayers. In Ephesians chapter 1, he's praying for the Spirit to bring revelation. In Ephesians chapter 3, he's praying for the Spirit to bring power. And in Colossians chapter 1, he's praying for the Spirit to bring leading. Let me say that again. And friends, I had this thing on my heart this morning that sometimes when we look at a preach like this and we're going to cover a couple of scriptures, we tend to think that's for mature believers or for older people. Friends, this is for all of us. Do you know why? We all need revelation. At 12 years old, we need revelation. Number two, we all need empowering. We all need empowering, no matter how we are. In fact, I think if you're a teenager at school right now, you probably need more empowering than most adults do. And thirdly, we all need leading. We all need to know what God is saying. We all need to know where he's leading us. And so these three prayers that Paul prays are really wonderful prayers to memorize. They're to the Father, for the Spirit, because of Jesus. May the Spirit of God bring revelation. May the Spirit of God bring power. May the Spirit of God bring leading. And I trust that as we hear these prayers this morning and as you go home and contemplate them, something inside your heart opens wide to receive the Holy Spirit to fellowship with him. So the first prayer goes like this. He says, I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, to give you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. There's the Trinity. I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, to give you the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, of wisdom and revelation that you might know him better. And then he goes a little bit further. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened. In other words, these eyes work. I'm praying that these eyes work. The eyes of your heart will be enlightened, that you may know the hope to which you have been called, the glorious riches of his inheritance in the saints, and the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe. Now, friends, that's a deep prayer. It's a complex prayer. It's something you need to go and study. But the basis is this. I'm praying for you, that the Spirit of God comes on you with revelation to know him better. Now, friends, you know that when Jesus died, Matthew chapter 27, what happened to the curtain? It's torn in two. The moment Jesus died, it says the curtain that had been in existence, friends, for almost 1,500 years. The temple of Moses had a curtain. You could not see the presence of God. There was a curtain that hid the revelation of God from the people. The temple of Solomon had a curtain. The temple of Zerubbabel had a curtain. And the temple at the time of Jesus had a curtain. Do you know how big that curtain was, by the way? They say it was 4 stories tall and as thick as a hand. It wasn't like we think of curtains as in something decorative in the lounge. You know, is it floral or is it plain? No, no, this was this massive, thick, 4-story high curtain that blocked the revelation of God. And as Jesus breathed his last, this curtain that hid God from people was torn from top to bottom. Quite something, isn't it? You could all see God. But you know, the New Testament talks about another veil that hasn't been torn yet. And that's the veil that exists over people's hearts and minds. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, when anyone turns to Christ, that veil is removed. You see, the veil of the temple that hid God, that was torn in two. But the veil that exists over people's eyes, that stops them from seeing God, that veil is not yet torn. And it says that we who with unveiled faces behold the glory of God are being changed into his likeness from one degree of glory to another. This comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. See, Jesus tore that curtain. But the Spirit of God removes this one. This one. And so it takes, I know it's a fancy word, revelation. It literally means to open the curtains. You know, in the morning when you don't know what the weather's looking like, you pull the curtains back. Oh, it's a nice day. Or you pull the curtains, oh, it's a rainy day. You pull the curtains back to see what's there. In fact, the literal meaning of the word revelation is to take the lid off. For those of you whose wives make you food for lunch, and you don't quite sure what she made you that day, you don't know whether you're in a good books or a bad books, you take the lid off your lunchbox and you find out. And the Holy Spirit is the one who takes the lid off the Father and the Son for you to know him better. And here's the thing, friends. It took a revelation to be born again. The Bible says that nobody can say Jesus is Lord except by a work of the Spirit. But it takes an ongoing revelation to keep knowing him, to keep serving him, to keep worshiping him, to keep obeying him. You cannot just survive on the revelation that got you born again. Can you hear that, friends? I trust and I hope that everybody in this room has come to that point. There was a revelation. There was a moment where the Holy Spirit took the lid off Jesus. You weren't sure who he was, but the Holy Spirit took the lid off and suddenly you saw him as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Savior of the world, Shepherd of your soul, the one who died for you. The lid was taken off. But friends, there is an ongoing work of the Spirit to keep the lid off. And if we are not in that ongoing revelation of the Spirit, friends, our walk with him becomes stagnant. It becomes old. It becomes boring. And that's why Paul in this prayer says, I keep asking. If it was just a case of getting them born again, he did not need to carry on praying for the Spirit of revelation. Please go and read that prayer, friends. Please go and read it. Whatever age you are, whatever you know of the Father and the Son, there is more. Whatever you know of your relationship with the Father and the Son, there is more. Whatever you know about yourself being in Christ and Christ in you, there is more. Whatever you know about your ministry, your calling, your leadership, your role, whatever, there is more. Ezekiel's dream, ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, a river that you can't cross. There is always deeper water. And there's something really sad when the people of God get stuck. Remember the records back in the day? Remember that? How irritating it was when a record got stuck. Friends, it's really sad when believers get stuck. Second prayer, Ephesians chapter 3. It says, I pray that you, again, the prayer, if you look at it, is to the Father. It says, I pray that you will be strengthened. Please listen to this, friends. Everyone, please listen to this. I pray that you will be strengthened with might through His Spirit in your inner man. Isn't that a beautiful picture? You know, you've got an inner man. You've got your outer man. That's the one you see in the mirror. But you've got this inner man, which is quite complex. Is it your soul? Is it your spirit? I'm not too sure how, you know. But you have an inner man. And that's where the Holy Spirit lives, in your inner man. Some of us have never found that inner man. Some of us don't know what it means, this Holy Spirit that dwells within our inner man. But He says, I pray that you will be strengthened by His Spirit in your inner man, that Christ will dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and established in Christ may have power with all the saints to comprehend the length, the breadth, the height, and the depth of the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. And then that famous verse, Ephesians 3:20, now to Him who by His power at work in us is able to do much more than we could ever begin to ask or imagine. Within you, friends, every single one of you, within you, the Holy Spirit dwells this morning to empower you. And by that power of His Spirit inside you this morning, He can do more than you could ever begin to ask or imagine. We always think of that power in terms of spiritual things. We think of it in terms of ministry. Actually, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's power in every... Our God, friends, our Father is so gracious. There is power everywhere. Forgive me if I... This is a little bit vulnerable. Our son and his wife miscarried their first child this week at 12 weeks. And we were in the... at the gynecologist where they were doing the TV thing. And we were so excited. There was the little guy. With the little... No, guy as in... baby, a little 12-year-old person. They might never have met their grandchild, we might never have met that grandchild, but we are grandparents to that child from now. And then suddenly they say, there's a problem, there's no heartbeat. And it was devastating. But in that moment, we are strengthened with might. We are strengthened with power through His Spirit in our inner man, friends. You might find yourself in a classroom situation where whatever situation you'll find yourselves in, you might wish you were somewhere else. The Holy Spirit of God, in His, there's power. There's power from the Holy Spirit. It's beautiful, isn't it? We've been covering the book of Zechariah in Pietermaritzburg, and there's this little phrase that's used in Zechariah chapter 11 where God says to the people, He says, as for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. And then He says, return to your stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Have you ever heard that phrase before? God calls His people, who are His people by covenant, prisoners of hope. Do you know what that means? You are captive to a good future. Everybody say amen. Amen. So I'll take that. God looks at you and says, you are a prisoner of hope. You are captive to a good future. The Spirit of God empowers us. Third prayer is Colossians chapter 1, where He says, I pray that you will be filled... Listen to these words. I pray that you will be filled with the knowledge of His will in all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. that you may lead a life worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in your knowledge of Him. How's that for a prayer? Say, Lord, what are you saying? Lord, what are you doing? Where are you leading me? I pray that you will be filled, not just get a rough idea, okay? Filled with the knowledge of His will, in all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, to lead a life, number one, worthy of Him, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing or increasing in your knowledge of Him. Isn't it wonderful, friends, that God is a God who speaks? I don't know if that overwhelms you. God is a God who speaks. He doesn't always speak on demand. He doesn't always speak in the time frame that we dictate to Him. I loved what DJ did this morning. But He speaks. He leads. He led the Israelites with a cloud. He led the wise men with a star. And He leads us by His Spirit. He's given us His Word, and He's given us His Spirit. You and I are a word people. We are a spirit people. And if we will wait on God, He will speak. If we will wait on God, He will speak. How am I doing for time? Time. My time is up now. Shall we stand? Three very, I was going to say simple prayers, but they're not actually that simple. These three prayers that Paul prayed over churches. Trinity prayers to the Father, through Jesus, for the Spirit. Number one, revelation. Ongoing revelation. Wherever you are today in your relationship with the Father and the Son, there is more. There is more. Whatever depth you are, right now, the water's deeper. Number two, that God wants to empower you with His Holy Spirit. He wants to empower you for gifts of the Holy Spirit. He also just wants to empower you in the circumstance and the situation that you find yourself in. That's what Paul was able to say when he spoke about his thorn in the flesh. Your grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect. God saying that to you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Thank you, Lord, that you empower us by your Holy Spirit. Father, every circumstance that everyone in this room finds themselves in now, and you're so acquainted with it, Father, I ask that you come now and empower them by your Holy Spirit to navigate this circumstance, to walk through it, to lift it where it needs to be lifted, to bring courage where courage is needed, to bring hope where hope is needed, to bring a vision where vision is needed. But empower now, in Jesus' name. And Father, you talk about your Holy Spirit that leads us. And I pray, Father, that we would know the leading of your Holy Spirit. May you know the leading of the Holy Spirit. May His voice become something familiar to you. May His wind become something you can discern. May His breath become something you can feel. May what pleases Him begin to please you. May what displeases Him begin to displease you. May you increase in your sensitivity to the Holy Spirit of God who is within you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Bruce.